Welcome to Business Women Australia's radio show. I'm Sally Barker. Each week I'll be talking with a leading member of BWA. These inspiring business leaders are very generous in sharing their stories, insights and expertise. Joining me on the show today is Dr. Claire Allen. How are you, Dr. Claire?
I'm very good, thank you, Sally.
Do you like Dr. Claire or Dr. Allen or...
Whatever.
Okay,
whatever you want to call me. I'm not precious.
All right. So you've done some amazing things in your life. You are the CEO of Visibility.
Yes, I am.
You've also authored a book and you've created some products as well. But what we're going to talk about today is business mentoring and coaching and why it's important to invest in these areas.
I guess most people go out there and they start looking at building a business, entrepreneurs. They don't have a business plan. They don't really know what the problem is they're trying to solve. And so they go out there offering everything to the market. Mm-hmm. And actually they water down what they're offering. And then they wonder why they're not getting sales or they're not actually getting outcomes. Whereas with a proper business coach, we can actually be really focused and get the person to focus. It'll save them time. It'll actually save them money, and in the end, it'll probably yield great results.
So what can we expect from a really good mentor or business coach from scratch? Should you have one before you leave your job and start as an entrepreneur? What should we do?
I think it's great if you're in a job and you can't really afford to step out and go into your business full time to actually have a transition plan. So a coach can help you with a transition plan that says, well, okay, how can we actually build up some areas of income streams for you while you're currently in your job? And look, I'm living testimony of that. I've been in CEO roles for over two decades. In the next 5 years, I want to transition into full time being in my own business. So for me, I actually do a little bit of coaching. I have online products, online sales, which actually generates income streams. So that in 5 years' time, when I want to step out from being a CEO of an iconic charity, I can actually do that. Mm. I work with a lot of CEOs that are the same. And a lot of people that are business owners that actually want to build wealth or they want to pass it on. And they need a plan. They need a transition plan. So what I do is I actually help them with that plan. And it doesn't have to happen overnight, but they will have some quick wins.
So when you are entering into a mentorship or with a business coach, what are some questions you should be asking?
The first thing I ask people is, what will success look like for you? So if we're going to work together, I don't want it to just be a talk fest. What do you want to achieve at the end of this milestone and then the next milestone? So at the end of 3 months, what do you want to achieve? At the end of 6 months, what do you want to achieve? Mm. Because then we can work back from there and then I can make sure that that happens. Mm. The other thing is, I don't just want to take people on a journey and make money for them. I want to explain that. So in my early career, I started the coaching process about 20 years ago. I worked with a business owner, the business was failing, and I made them a lot of money, and she was miserable. And I said, why are you miserable? And she said, because I'm actually not following my passions or dreams. You're making a lot of money for me, but actually that's not what I want. I'd rather make half the money, but follow my passion and dreams. So I had to flip my coaching process. And in the last 20 years, what I try and do is match the passions and the values and the profitability. Mm-hmm. And that makes a massive difference. And what I find is that when I do that, I'm actually enhancing people's talents and their skills and their abilities. And in actual fact, the money starts to come even more. So I've learned a lot of lessons over two decades of coaching people of what works the best way for them.
Mm. So what if I'm looking for a mentor or a coach? What questions should I be asking to find out if that coach is right for me?
Well, I think the most important thing is, have they actually turned a company around? Have they got experience in terms of businesses? So have they got some battle scars? So someone like me has actually tripled the company's turnover. We've gone from 2,000 clients to 12,000 clients, gone from basically a poor performer to the best performer of one and two in the nation. So you could say with someone like me, well, you've got some battle scars. That didn't just happen. You had to work really hard to make that happen, and you had to enhance a team. So are you proven in the field? Mm. And I think that's important. Secondly, are they someone with business knowledge? Not just someone who's come from, an industry whereby it's around just sales. have they got business knowledge? Have they got a background in terms of understanding how to do a business plan, how to understand how finances work, you know, the whole gambit? Do they have marketing experience, or do they have a tribe behind them of people? And when I say a tribe, does that mean that if, for example, Sally, you came to me and we started to not just work on your business, but work on you, then do I have good financial planners I can refer you to? Do I have a tribe of people that can help you in terms of wellness? And they're some of the things you look for in a coach. Do they come with a tribe of people that are proven and tested that can help you, not just your business, but you as a person?
Okay, so they're very, very important points to consider. Let's talk a little bit about The Sacred Heart.
Yes.
Okay, so this is a book you've authored, and you have 7 wake-up calls. Yeah. Now, is this an important part of this transition into being an entrepreneur?
Well, the biggest thing I find when I coach people is that they're so worried about what people think of them, and they struggle with this belief in themselves. So Albert Bandura talks about the fact that the difference between a successful person and a non-successful person is their belief in their capability to perform. So with 7 wake-up calls, it's really quite simple. If you don't believe you're capable, then you won't succeed. So you have to have a belief in yourself. So a lot of the work I do in Sacred Heart is actually creating a belief and getting people, and this may sound easy, but it's actually quite complex, to stop worrying about what everybody's going to think about them, or stop trying to meet the guidelines of society or the rules that they think are there in place, but to start following their own heart and to listen to within and the answers within. And then we can really have massive success, because this belief is the fundamental thing. So when I work with people, I build their belief system. I then build this amazing personal brand, because you've got to have a brand. And if you've got this brand that has a key message, then what you can do is then you can learn some influence strategies. Mm. And before you know it, these quick win strategies happen all the time. So when business coaches go in and they just do the technical, and yeah, I could do that. I could throw all this technical stuff at people, but they're just going to say, it's too much. It's too much like hard work. I can't do it. Once I tap into the psyche of the individual and their belief system, what I do is I do 80% building their brand and their belief and their influence strategies, and then we do 20% of the hard stuff, which I do most of for them, because most people in business just don't really want to do it and they don't really get it, and there's no point forcing them to do it. So when they get someone like me, I'm actually writing down those key things. What's the problem you're trying to solve? You know, what solution are you bringing to the market? Why you? You know, why do people come to you?
So there are 3 questions you should be asking yourself.
Absolutely.
Right from the start, before you even start with that business plan.
Yes, absolutely.
So can you run through them again?
So what's the problem that you're trying to solve? What's the solution that you bring into the market? Mm-hmm. And why you?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And answer those questions and then get onto your business plan.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And then your business plan, that's your pitch to the marketplace. Mm. And then you can set your milestones. Then you can set your financial targets. And then you've got to actually, with that, build your avatar or your personal brand. Mm. So when I've taken startup companies, it's very interesting. You work with companies and they've got a great product and they've got a market. And I bring in investors, for example. And, you know, we usually have to go to Sydney and we go to these top places. And they'll all say something really interesting to me. Claire, the product's fantastic, but we invest in people.
Mm.
Why do they invest in people? Because most of the time, those investors, particularly if it's a bank, they're going to put in 30, 35%. They're probably going to be sending you to conferences across the world. They want you to present. They want you to stand up and believe in your product and have a key message. So if you want to be big, you got to have the right avatar and the right branding to go alongside that.
Mm. Okay, well, that is important because, yeah, you know, thinking about when you are a startup, you don't think. You think about, you know, the business model and, you know, I guess if it's a software or, you know, that kind of thing, the product, you don't really think about them actually liking you.
No, exactly. And you are the brand. And I try and get that across to people all the time. And particularly now with social media, it's even more so that you have to have a brand. Mm. It's more so that you have to have credibility. And when we talk about Sacred Heart, I write that book because it shows my vulnerability and credibility at the same time. Mm-hmm. And we're looking for people that have a sense of strong credibility, but that are quite vulnerable and genuine, because it's the genuine connections that matter.
Mm. So what sort of investment should you be looking at the very beginning to kick things off right?
Yeah. Look, I'll give you an example. When somebody steps out and they're trying to actually be something in the marketplace, they spend an awful lot of money trying to work it out. So I suggest that what you do is you follow a really clear template. It may take you a day out of your life, but just start jotting these key messages down and the things that you need to do. So going back to those things we talked about, what's the problem you want to solve? What's the solution? And basically, you know, why you? But once you do that and you start then working it out and putting your business plan together, then it's solid.
Mm.
So there's three things in a business. Now, you would think, Sally, if I asked you the question that a great business starts with good foundations, good strategy, and good operations, how much time do you think you should spend on each one of those areas?
I don't know.
Exactly. Most people don't. And a lot of people will say, I spend so much time on the operations because they're practitioners. That's where I need to spend all my time. That's garbage. Actually, to be successful, you need 33.3% in each area.
Mm.
So if you don't start off with really good foundations, in other words, you've got everything tied up with your trading names, your business name, all those things that are there in terms of your foundation, how much you're going to invest, what it's going to look like, then your strategy, good strategic business plan, maybe a workforce plan, maybe a marketing plan, then your operations. That's become so easy then. It becomes the success. It's the icing on the cake, because then you can go out and it all starts to come in. And those quick wins start to propel.
So, and to do this, it'd have to be some really tight scheduling.
It can also be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I think if, again, you choose the right business coach who's actually got the systems in place.
Mm.
So when you, for example, work with someone like me, I'm not going to have a talk fest with you, and I don't actually take people on that want to just have a talk fest.
Mm.
You get onto my coaching portal, so we sign you up, you're on the coaching portal, the tools are there for you to work through in your time, so that when we get together, it's coactive coaching. Mm. We knock it out together. And that makes the process really simple.
You go away with some action steps.
Exactly. So so the other thing in coaching is find someone who's going to co-actively coach you, work through the process with you. Because otherwise it's just too hard, particularly if you're in transition and you're trying to fit in your job and this great new business idea.
Mm. But you also want to, you want someone who will keep you accountable.
Absolutely.
Someone you're a little bit scared of if you actually don't complete those action tasks.
It's very true. I send out the homework after each coaching session, and the first thing I do when we sit down is saying, well, what have you done on these things? And people go, oh, yep. And you can see that the week before that coaching session, they've really gone to town, because I actually see all the documents uploaded then in the coaching portal. So I know they've left it till last minute. But if you didn't have that level, you're exactly right, Sally, accountability, then people would just let it slide along for quite some time.
Mm. And then you're really paying to have a chat with someone.
Yes.
Really, aren't you?
Yes, you are. And it's not good for them. And it's not good for me. As much as I love people and I love connecting with people and engaging, the success of what I do is their success, you know? So I really put that as my own KPI as well.
And I think you need to know if you really, you can have a good relationship with your coach. Mm. You know, if you don't get each other, if you're not on the same page, there's no point.
No, there's no point.
Yeah.
You've got to have a great relationship and rapport, but you've got to have a partnership as well. And that's what I mean. If their success is kind of my success, I kind of get excited about it.
Mm.
And that's what you want, is someone you can contact. There's nothing better for me than getting an email on the weekend and saying, I've gone to this event and this happened. Might be a two-liner. I go, oh, that's just awesome.
Yeah.
It just makes my whole day, you know, when I see those things coming through. So having people buy into your success, particularly when you're trying to do it on your own or you've got a team, can be difficult. So you need someone who can back you up and support you. And that's really important.
I mean, the evidence is there that, you know, trying to do it by yourself, you might get there eventually, but having a coach or a mentor accelerates the process.
Absolutely. Mm. And look, there's reports that have come out around first-time CEOs even who did not realize that suddenly their health was going to be impacted by being a first-time CEO. They didn't realize the loneliness of the role. They started to see that they were getting high cholesterol, high blood pressure, suddenly the isolation of the job. And this is overwhelming evidence for first-time CEOs or even entrepreneurs starting their business. So they really do need that level of support, because suddenly you go from working in a team to suddenly you're overseeing, and it can feel like, wow, I'm now, I've got to make all the decisions. And it's a pretty tough space to transition to.
Well, you become the team.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
All right. Exactly. Well, thank you so much. You've given us some wonderful information. Thank you for joining us on Business Women Australia's radio show. Dr. Claire Allen, proud station sponsor.
Thank you very much.